Hello, dumplings. Welcome to the Let's Get Ugly podcast, where we dive deep into the beauty, wellness, and lifestyle spaces and delve into the secrets that you probably haven't thought about before.
We're your co-hosts, Trisha and Disha,
the sister duo keeping it 100% authentic, sassy, and really silly.
Yes, we are very silly. But today we will be chatting to you, like we always do, with an amazing industry insider sharing insight on the deeper topics and the better narratives.
We're really here to share real stories that make an impact and just kind of cut through all the haze and BS that there is around the creative industries.
So come join us, grab your favorite drink, and let's get cozy and embrace the ugly truth. This is Let's Get Ugly.
So, Shai, we have you here with us today, and we are so excited to have you. So basically today we're going to be talking about a few different things, one being overcoming bullying, which I'm really excited to talk about with you, as well as beauty standards in music and cultural identity. And plus, we always share fun little moments with you guys as well. So let's get into it.
Yes. Darling, let's get started. I have a friend that always says darling. He's like, hi, darling. And he's so posh, and I'm like, hi, darling.
So you actually mentioned in a previous interview, because of course
oh, we no, did something wrong. Stole my sound
to you, which we loved and learned so much about you. But there was something about experiencing bullying in an all-girls school, and honestly, it is something both of us can really relate to.
Massively.
But how do you think this shaped your views on beauty and self-worth?
That's a really good question. Honestly, I was in an all-girls school, and in my head, I always thought, like, now when I think about it, I'm like, oh my God, this could have been amazing. Because, you know, everyone could come together for the more, like, positive side of things. But I think at that point of time, it was, there was no social media as well, which is so weird. Like, it was just kind of starting out, you know, like Facebook and stuff like that. So it was a little bit on the newer side. So people were much more authentic, I feel. And at that time, no one really thought about like mental health, for example, you know. And it wasn't like that long ago, but it really feels like that sometimes, especially with the mental health aspect, which is like now a thing and people actually talk about it. So at that time, I was really, really chubby. And I was like bullied a lot for that. Like, you know, I was hairy because like obviously all of us Indian kids are like hairy. Yeah. Like that's just, that's how it is. So that was quite, you know, like taxing and stuff like that. And my parents have always been kind of very warm and very, you know, it's okay to look like however you look like, you know. And at that time, it wasn't really my ideal, I suppose. You know, when you're growing up, you're figuring yourself out. So at that time, it was just a little harder and everyone was a little meaner. I don't know if that sounds horrible, but I just felt like everyone was more vocal without thinking about how it's impacting the person that they're talking to.
So
you know?
True. Yeah.
So that, I think, is the real difference. Like now I think people are a little more self-aware, a little more aware of their surroundings, whether that's a good thing they use it for or a bad thing, like, you know, controversial, but like either side, you know. So yeah, but what was the question?
I mean, honestly, you picked up on something really interesting, and we can circle back to the actual question. But I think literally what you've picked on is so, so important to think about, because like if we think about when we were all growing up, like we weren't really kind of told about the impact of words or mental health, especially in Asia.
It used to be this rhyme. It was like, I remember this so clearly because I was like, but what if they do? It was sticks and stones may hurt my bones, but words will never hurt me. And I was like, but what if they're hurting me? Like, you know, and that was something that like, that was the advice that that I was given at the time. And I remember that because I was like, it doesn't work. Like, it's not working. You know, it is still impacting me quite negatively. And so I feel like that was kind of the condition of mental health, like maybe 25 years ago, 20 years ago. And then I think since we've had the internet and we have call-out culture, things have definitely changed.
Yeah.
Which segues really nicely to my next question.
Yeah.
Which is about the fact that you actually spoke out about your trolls on Instagram and trolls in general. So tell us a little bit about what happened and how did you make that decision? How did you overcome it?
So I think a lot of us who are in like, you know, the public eye or whatever, have to go through this, even just the public eye on social media, you know, because like if you have a certain amount of followers, people are just like vocal and they're behind the screen, so they don't really think about what they're saying either, you know. And for me, again, I know I keep circling back to my family and my upbringing, but it's really the reason I am okay with everything and like how I am. And I'm very much like what you see is what you get. And sometimes that does bite me in the ass because like, you know, when you're like an open book, sometimes people will use that against you maybe. But the thing is that I really believe that everyone in this circle kind of goes through the same things. And when you talk about it, it's so nice, right? Because like even with the beauty standards thing, people don't talk about what they're getting done if they're getting anything done, right? Which is so annoying because actually I would love to know, you know, because then I wouldn't feel like maybe shit or I would feel better about it, you know, because you're just being real. For me, the thing is like, I feel like in any place, not just India, everywhere, when you're 100% yourself, people know. They just know. They feel it. Like, I mean, at least I feel it. You know? So like, and like, if you're being yourself, you know, and if you're a girl's girl, for example, a lot of these people will say they're girl's girls, but then they're not. Like, you know, when my girlfriends call me and say, like, what are you doing at the gym? I'll literally give them the whole breakdown. You know, I'll tell them what I'm eating, everything, and then I'll say, like, it may work for you, it may not, because, like, everyone's body
disclaimer.
Is different. Yeah. But, exactly. But I wouldn't hide it, because what is that serving me? Do you know what I mean? Like, it's not really serving me anything. I'm still going to look the way I look. I'm still going to be the way I am. If this is going to help you, why not? Mm-hmm. So I do feel like that should just be, like, a general template in life, you know? So with social media and, like, the trolls that would message me, I feel like everyone does go through this. It's just how you respond. And to be honest, I just didn't respond. I just read it and I was like, cool. And most of it is just stupid, flirty rubbish, you know? Like, you know, like people don't think, they just send you, yeah, like, you know? And like, and sometimes, you know, I would feel like, you know, this is actually a really important thing, I think, for a lot of people, which is you, sometimes you struggle to find your USP, right? Mm-hmm. Like what makes you you? And when I was in England, I always felt like I was too desi for England and I was too British for India. So I used to think of that as a negative. And then I realized, no, that's my USP, you know? Like it could be that bridging of the, you know, the two worlds, you know, because that is who I am. So I am a bit of both, you know? So yeah, I just never really, I didn't take it so seriously. I just kind of took it for what it was and moved on and yeah.
I love that. I love that. And it really seems like you took a negative and turned it into a positive, no matter what that was. Yeah. But I guess that's the best thing that you can do and one of the best pieces of advice you could give as well. I like the idea about being authentic. I would say we're a little too authentic.
We're way too authentic.
But like, yeah.
But I mean, I think that's a good thing. Like, honestly, like, it's just how you look at it, right? If you think you're too authentic, someone else might really appreciate your authenticity. It's just a point of view.
Yeah.
It's subjective.
Exactly. It is. And I think it's important, especially in these industries that we all work in, because, you know, there is so much in behind the scenes and smoke and mirrors and people denying things or not being open. And actually, it's like, why?
What are you going to gain from it, though?
Yeah.
Nothing, genuinely.
Gatekeep culture is something that is so
true.
Annoying.
So true.
But it's so hype now. Yeah. And it's like, you know, I feel like we can kind of see through a lot of stuff, you know, and that's what makes it tricky. That's why I like Reddit.
Reddit?
Well, I love Reddit. I'm a Reddit girly.
I knew you were a Reddit girly. But kind
of. Oh, so, I love Reddit.
As you should, as you should. Soon you're going to be like, I love Google reviews.
Sometimes they're quite entertaining.
No, I love it. I love it when it's like there's a random 2-star and it's just the most rogue comment.
No, my favorite is when they reply, when they get the angry reviews and they reply on top of it.
Oh my God. I've never checked that stuff. I'm not going to lie.
Ty is literally like, what have I gotten myself into?
I'm just like, I've never done that. Sorry, girls. I can't like comment on it. Like, I don't know.
But circling back to beauty, the important stuff. you know, you've spoken about beauty being subjective and that yeah. there shouldn't be a perfect ideal, which, by the way, I 100% agree with, because beauty is very subjective. It's about what makes you look good and feel good. And that's a really big part of what we do as well.
Yeah.
How do you convey this message through your music and social media presence? Like, what do you actively do?
I think for me, in my music, the way I would share that is basically doing what I love. So, like, I make like hyper pop garage, like if Pink Panthers and Charlie XCX had like a desi baby, that would be me, you know? So like, I am very much like, that is what I like, that is what I am making right now anyway. And there's no hiding that, like in my, even in the way I dress, the way I, you know, like put my makeup on, whatever it is, that is what you see is what you get kind of vibe. And I feel like with the subjective beauty angle, if you are just being who you are and people know what they're getting, they're gonna like it or they're not gonna like it. And it takes a lot of strength, I think, to be okay with that, because I really dealt with that for a while, where I was just like, if someone doesn't like me, how do I deal with that, you know? Especially because of social media. You know, if someone doesn't think I'm beautiful, then how do I deal with that? You know, emotionally, especially when you are bullied as a younger kid, those insecurities still stick on. Like I, you know, will look in the mirror and maybe now I'm like, you know, really like physically fit, but I'll still see the past. I won't fully be able to overcome it, you know? So I think everything is like, people ask you, you know, what's your type, right? That's like a standard thing, isn't it?
Yeah,
like, you know,
yeah,
what's
yeah.
your type? What do you look for? And I genuinely don't have one other than 6 foot plus, preferably. But for real, like, you know, like, so there is no beauty standard in my eyes. And I think in England, I experienced that way more, because in India, there is still a type, you know, mm-hmm. like conventionally, it's like, you know, fair skin, long hair, light eyes. These are things that people still,
value.
I've gone for shoots and people have been like, oh, you know, if you just put in contacts now, you'd be perfect. And I'm like, excuse me?
Why?
I like my brown eyes, you know, like my brownie black eyes, you know, but that's what I mean, right? It's like, it is what has been done for quite a while and now it's changing. There's no doubt it's changing. I mean, I love that it's changing. Even with the influencers we have these days, like everyone's just kind of like being who they are and it doesn't really matter. But when I was in England, particularly, I think I really experienced that because everyone was just completely who they are and all look different, act different. So it's
yeah.
beauty subjective.
I do think it's great though. I mean, like, it's something that we see a lot in our workshops and, you know, when we help people and support them on their beauty journey.
Yeah.
It's never about trying to get a specific look. It's always about trying to make sure that you look like you want to.
Yeah.
And I feel like I really appreciate you saying that in general because it's so important, you know, just being able to have your own USP, as you call it,
yeah.
and brand identity that's distinctive.
Yeah.
And speaking of being distinctive, yeah. let's talk about the bindi.
Let's.
I know. So how did this come about? How did it enhance your artistic persona? How did you make this decision?
So honestly, when I was in uni, I missed home like crazy. And I would try and find anything that would make me, you know, feel like, you know, I was home. So, and my mom and I are very close. And my mom would always put flowers in her hair, which is a very desi thing to do, right? And for me, I was like, okay, I put a flower in my hair for a few days. Even all my, like, all the kitchen ladies and my uni were like, oh, the girl with the flower in her hair, you know? And then I just, there was something about it that still wasn't completely feeling like me. I felt like my mama, you know, like I'm just taking a part of my mom, which is nice, of course. But then I just started to put on a bindi, and I don't know what it was. I think it's also, I don't know, I'm quite a bubbly person. I have a lot of energy, and I don't know if a bindi really represents that. But you know, they're colorful and they're shiny and they're, you know, they say, right, like monkeys or something, when they look at stuff that's shiny, they're like, ooh. You know?
Monkeys and me.
Yeah, I knew you'd relate to that, actually, because it's like your dress, like, it's giving. So, exactly that. That's how I feel, like, you know, it's like multiple, like, bindis on there. I just want to put them all on, you know. So, for me, that was just something that I connected to. It also brought me back home, you know. So, it was a feeling of comfort. Like, I don't know what it was. I just, it was like making roti and bhindi for myself, you know, it's like, it's just a comfort.
So it just slowly became my thing. And then I just, like, I sometimes sleep with it and wake up with it, like, here, like, here. It's quite funny. But yeah, it's just a part of who I am now, and I love it.
Amazing. What about motivation with social issues? Actually, we shared a really sweet DM earlier. You sent me the fact that Thailand has now been the first Asian country to legalize same-sex marriage, which is amazing. And it was so good to see that, because of course, like, Thailand, I think, is the one place that I've been to the most in the world on holiday, especially as a child. Mm-hmm. So being kind of exposed to the trans community is something that I've been really kind of visually and understood in a very, we're really familiar with it, right? Yeah. Like, I'm really familiar with it, I'm exposed to it, I'm happy about it, and it's cool. And I love the freedom that they have seemingly always had, because we're talking about the 90s and the 2000s. And it's great that they've been embraced and embedded in their culture. And now that they can take a very important step, I think that's wonderful. And social issues, as I can see, you're beaming about this as well. You know,
I just love love, guys. Cancer season.
I was gonna say the cancer is coming out.
Clearly, when it comes to social issues and empowering women, you really do that in your music, and you're quite motivated by it. Could you shed a little bit of light on your recent singles and how they address these important issues and why they're important to you?
Sure. So I think for me, like, the girl and the feminine empowerment thing is a huge part of, like, I think also in a way, like, being in a girls' school, like, it actually helps in a funny way. Like, yes, it was sad at the time, but I value it so much, you know, and I do feel like the bringing together of women, like, in this industry is so hard because there are none, So it's really difficult. And in the music, for me, I just feel like addressing things in a, I tend to address things in, like, a cute way as opposed to, like, a very serious way, because that's who I am, to be honest. Like, I don't want to get serious about things. Like, it is sometimes a good place to be serious, but in my music, it's, I'm happy, you know? Like, I want to talk about love in, like, a romantic way, in a Disney princess way. You know, that's where my true self is, you know, without taking it too dark or too serious. That's never been my music in general, you know? But I feel like bringing together the sense of camaraderie, like, between girls through my music, whether it's, like, even just, like, paying a little cute compliment, you know, somewhere here or there, you know, like, just something cheeky, something cute, you know, things that girls can say to each other. Like, that's how, you know, even with social media, all the POVs and stuff, like, that should really be a thing, I think, for everybody, depending on how you want to bring it out. And I think in the excitement of the music, of, like, hyperpop, that always kind of is shown, you know? And the whole, like, I love love kind of thing, that's, like, all my songs are just, like, I'm in my lover girl era, guys. So, like, I think all my songs are now just about love and just, like, you know, happy things. So it's, I'm excited to drop all these songs and just, like, have that, you know, come together really
amazing.
Nice.
So. And we're excited to hear all the new ones. It's going to be great. I mean, in terms of a sense of community that you're able to bring through, you know, being an artist and being influential within that space, how do you do that for your community? Like, what do you offer them?
I think, so if I'm honest, actually, if I was to actually look at my insights right now, it would be majority boys, like, men that follow me, you know?
Wow.
Yeah, like, just being real here. But, like, it's true. And in India, I feel like that is anyways a general thing with girls, you know? Like, majority of their following is guys. And that's just because there are more men in general as well. Mm-hmm. And guys love to look at, you know, cute girls. Sometimes I'm like, are you here for the music? Really?
Yeah.
Or for what? You know, I want to know. But the girls who I have had follow me and who have even messaged me and stuff like that, like, it's usually about these issues. So whether I've addressed it in my music or just on my social media, like, you know, about being, whatever, fat shamed or, you know, loving yourself for who you are or talking about issues that are hiding things, you know, or just even in, like, events, like networking events, like, if you go up to a girl and you say, like, you look so pretty, or I love your hair, or I love your dress, or whatever, it feels so much better, in my opinion, than when a dude does it.
Yeah.
Yes. Agreed. Agreed.
100%.
Real. And what are they really looking to get out of it? Nothing.
Just to know, how to get your style, maybe. Yeah. Or like.
But that's all like sweet, isn't it? It's just nice. Sweet. It's not like, hi, I want to get into your pants. You know. It's much. Maybe it is.
You never know. But with me, most of the time, it's just been like, oh, I like that. Like, you know, where'd you get it? What made you think of it? Or something like that. And that's always nice. Mm.
So, yeah, definitely a girl's girl through and through.
No, but I love that you're a girl's girl and you're just like being real about that as well. But I feel like on social media at the moment, there's so much stuff about like being a girl's girl and like girlhood and coquette vibes. Yeah. Like, what are your thoughts on that?
Again, I think you can tell when it's authentic versus when it's like a little bit of like, oh, I'm just trying to get with like, I just want all the girls to like think I'm a girl's girl, you know? And it'll always come out, like it doesn't always have to come out in a like work setting, if that makes sense. I think ultimately you trust your gut, right? Most of the time your gut is right. So if you are speaking to a girl and if they're complimenting you, you know when it's real or when it's like, I don't know, has some undertone or maybe they want something or whatever, you know? But I think ultimately, if we all really genuinely did support each other, it would be a very different, you know, world. I really believe that. Like, there was this one quote I heard where it was in some movie. It was quite cute. And said, what would it be like if there were no men in the world or something? Which I'm not a fan of. Okay, I love boys. But I'm just saying, like, they said something like, we would be like a bunch of fat, happy women and no crime.
Oh,
yeah.
Not like Barbie?
Not in Barbie. It's in another film.
No. I was saying, but not like Barbie, because at least they were like, you know, they were all doing their own thing.
That's true. I didn't actually think about that.
Yeah.
I didn't actually think about that.
But
just another perspective, right?
Yeah, it's another perspective. Like, it's quite funny.
It was just cute, you know? And like, I love the fat part, because I was like, yeah, man, I miss food. Yeah, for real. Like, now I'm just like so like health-oriented and stuff. I mean, it comes with its pros and cons, but... Yeah.
Fair enough. No. Well, the music industry is so male dominated. Every industry is, to be honest. But how have you navigated and overcome gender biases? That's got to be tricky, right?
Yeah. So the answer is I haven't entirely.
Right.
Because you can't, because it's just like, that's ingrained. Just the way it is. Mm-hmm. And I feel like in England, it's different. And in the West in general, it is a bit different. It's not entirely different, but it is a bit different from my experiences anyway. Where they value your opinion as an equal. And I feel like in India, it's slowly catching up. But like the older generation, like the older dudes, if you're in a session with anyone above the age of like 30 or something, not that that's old, but you know, like older, whatever.
Second time
this has happened to me today.
No, I just mean like with...
Don't worry, I'm not there yet.
Okay, cool. I'm just saying.
In general. The older 30-year-olds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The ancient fossil on the sofa.
Specifically the dudes though. Like, there is an air of like... no equality. Mm. So it is a little difficult. And then therefore, when you have girls around you, like, I don't know if I can reference Prachi, but when she was talking about, you know, when she was talking about her little girl community party that like I went for, I loved it because it was just so chill and it was so real. And it was just a bunch of girls getting their hair and makeup done. You know what I mean? Like, it was just nice. There was no pressure on it. Everyone was there for each other. And, you know, through that party, I like worked with one of the girls from there for like a little music video shoot and stuff. It's just so random.
Wow.
So we connected on a personal level. And then a few days later, I messaged Prachi. I was like, do you know anyone? And then she referenced her and I was like, oh my God.
Perfect. You know,
so the connection is already made genuinely. Mm. So I do feel like more of those things will just change the whole narrative, I guess.
100%. And I think that it's quite nice and it sounds like it's very evolutionary.
Yeah.
Which I think is super important.
Yeah,
the evolution of things is really important. Yeah, absolutely.
Definitely. I mean, in terms of more things to create a more inclusive environment within the music industry, what else do you think needs to be done for women specifically in that space?
I think more of us have to speak up honestly. If we're asked a question, not to like always answer it the way we think then people will like us, you know, just being kind of as 100 as you're comfortable being. I can also respect some people don't want to say stuff maybe because of their families, you know, we are still a little, we are desi. Yeah. At the end of the day, we are scared, you know, to say certain things because we think of our families. And I can respect that a lot. But I feel like if more of us spoke up, if more of us had more events like this to bring us together, many things really, but I think the it starts off with actually just talking about it and being real about it, you know, so that you don't feel alone in the situations that you're in.
Yeah, definitely. I think like community is key when it comes to these kind of issues, yeah, because you realize that you're actually not alone and you're all going through it. So why not just help each other out?
It's a very different attitude. I mean, it's different everywhere in the world. I was saying this earlier as well, like the community that I feel or the community feel in India is really cool. Mm-hmm. And it's not what I was expecting. And I think it's really amazing that everyone kind of roots for each other in their own little environments and these like little microcosms that are all like very, very excited for each other. And then you end up, you know, fostering those amazing relationships. It's awesome. Yeah. It really is. Yeah. But let's compare the UK and the Indian music scene. So they're obviously quite different.
Yeah.
What do you think about the Indian music scene today and how do you hope it will evolve?
I think it's already evolving because now there's an independent music space. It's actually there.
Wow.
Before it was just Bollywood, right?
Of course. Yeah.
And then COVID happened and that was probably the best thing to happen from COVID, where people who were smaller or didn't have a label or whatever, you know, then actually started to share their music on social media and things started to pop. Like even Shub, like it was because of, it was during COVID that he just popped, you know. So I think, and independently. So I think ultimately the Indian music scene is catching up. There's no doubt. But I feel like in general with people, as much as you can meet people from different cultures, travel if you can afford it, you know, things like that change everything because then you're integrating different parts and you're learning more, you know. So I think in that respect, maybe India is a little still catching up because not everyone has had the opportunity, actually. Like, I feel the reason I am making music that may be more accepted, like, internationally is because I've traveled. So I've worked with international people, you know. I've worked with different communities and therefore you can hear it in the music. You know, if I sing Hindi, I can also sing English. You know, so that I think is, but we're definitely on the right track. I think if people also really focus on their brand identities, then we're really, you know, winning here. Like, you know, Diljit is like an example where he's just focused right on, this is exactly who I am here, you know? And like, I love that. So if you're just fully you, you know, brand wise, music wise, and everything kind of intertwines, mm-hmm,
It'll work. I love that.
Yeah. Definitely. And I love that you highlighted that gap between, you know, the pop culture scene and what's happening here. I mean, how do you see yourself as like a change maker in this space to help bridge the gap?
Well, I'm still on that path. That's what I really want to do. And I just feel like ultimately it'll be in the music. It'll be in the authenticity. It'll be in the connections. And it'll just be in the, like, keeping it real, I suppose. Like, I just feel like I connect with people who I believe are being themselves. So if people see that in me and they connect to me, then it's only up from here.
I just wanted to say thank you so much for being authentic, because I think that's been the one really amazing thing about us putting this together is we really do want to hear about your stories. And I think you really did, you know, deliver in a really authentic way. And I think that your journey, your future, your change making has really been really inspirational. And I'm sure that your journey and your story is definitely gonna help somebody out there as well. So we now move into our rapid final beauty question.
We're getting ready for it. So your makeup is flawless, so I don't know what you're gonna say for this one. But what is your favorite beauty trend of the moment?
I would say, like, I don't know if this is a trend of the moment. I think it is, though, like soft curl glam, like kind of what I've done, which is just like really easy. It takes me like 5 minutes. So I'm hella for like chop chop, just, you know, soft curl glam. Yeah.
Oh my God, I love it. And also that took you 5 minutes. Impressive.
Yeah, it took me five minutes.
What is your product breakdown?
So, okay, first I put like a little bit under eye a concealer, which is NARS. Like the, it's so good. Okay,
radiant creamy. Creamy.
Yeah.
Great.
And I do that on my spots as well, or if I have any marks or anything, because it just gone, seamless. And then I take this Huda Beauty, like a highlighter, but a blush highlighter. And I use it literally on my cheeks and a little bit on my eyes so that there's a little color. And then a little bit of iridescent in the middle, mascara, and highlighter, Fenty. The translucent one is bomb. Wow. Like, I just use it here, you know, all the zones. I know,
all the high points.
Yeah. High points, okay.
And that's it.
And the gloss?
And the gloss, sorry, of course. I love my gloss. But this is different. Usually I use the same blusher as the lips as well. So everything kind of just looks seamless. But today I felt like, you know, a little shiny to go with you guys.
It's like you knew, like from afar, like someone's going to rock up in a lot of shine. But no, I actually love that. And also the monochromatic vibe is very trendy at the moment as well.
Very true. Yeah. So what is your favorite must-have beauty hack?
Must-have beauty hack. So I think I don't know if this is a must-have because this is just something I've tried recently where you put hyaluronic acid on your lips, like the serum, a little bit, and then you seal it in with a lip mask, like I use the Laneige lip mask. I just seal it in. And then I promise the next morning my lips look so good and like juicy.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, we're learning so much today.
Everybody's spilling the tea and everyone's sharing their tips.
Yeah, well, that's what this is for, right?
Like, literally. Yeah. Just be honest about it. But on the other hand, we've all come up with some interesting beauty looks over the years. What has been your biggest beauty regret or learning? If it's not a regret, it's a learning. What would that be?
Honestly, I don't know if it's like a major regret, okay? But I was up in Liverpool and there girls go like cake face.
Yeah.
And like huge lashes. And I basically just did not recognize myself because I was first of all like 3 shades darker.
Oh, so you went full Liverpool.
Yeah, I went full Liverpool. Like, I just called the makeup lady over, and to be fair, she's very good at what she does, but I don't think she really got it with me.
Yeah.
You know, because she was just like, what does everyone want? Ah, yes, to be really tanned. So let's just make her super orange, you know? So that was just like a bit crazy because it just didn't go.
Yeah. You know? It stopped like here.
Yeah. And the lashes, like, I love lashes, but I like the simple, like a lash lift, which is just your real lashes. But there they like put on the really big, so basically I just wasn't for it, honestly. No.
Oh my god,
too much for me.
A little too much.
It does not go with the soft glam vibe that you have on today. But you know what, when in Liverpool, right?
Yeah, exactly.
But no, I'm so excited that you did this with us. Thank you so much. And before we let you go,
we'll do the card.
Oh yeah, fine.
Yes, your little reading.
Love it.
So these are all beauty themed. Okay, so they have different looks on them, but the meanings are varied. So we'll see what comes up for your message.
Let's go.
Love it. Okay, so I always knock them.
Yeah.
Because you have to knock them before you shuffle them because of the stagnant energy. But let's see what we have in store for you today. And if they fall, it's good. It means that there's something big coming out.
Okay. I don't want to have any expectations.
Just keep an open mind.
The best expectation is no expectation, right?
True. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Give me the news.
Oh. Literally what you were talking about. Trust your instincts.
Nice.
So that is your message for you. So whatever you have going on, trust your gut.
Okay. I will do that.
Love that. It was so related.
So related.
Perfect.
Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Bye.
This was so fun. It was. And it's a wrap.
Yay.